Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
South Africa's private security industry is the largest on the continent and I imagine one of the biggest in the world, employing over 500,000 active security officers. If I'm not mistaken, that's about three times the size of the SAPS. But now the sector is on edge over proposed amendments to the firearms regulation by the Private Security Industry Regulatory Authority. These new rules could severely limit the use of semi-automatic weapons, restrict access to firearms under investigation, and even impose costly new tracking requirements. Some critics are saying the changes could cripple high-risk security operations that would obviously leave many companies legally and financially exposed. So I want to look at this in a little more detail, what's really at stake here. And I'm talking to Martin Hood, an attorney with MJ Hood & Associates and a specialist in firearms and security law. Martin, a very warm welcome then. So what are your primary concerns around these amendments?
Jeremy, I think we need to start with the simple statement that anything that makes the doing business more difficult and more costly is not good for the South African economy. These proposals create a massive additional administrative burden on security companies to comply with more requirements. That's without talking specifically about the firearm issue. It just creates much more administration for a security company to operate legally. That's the first point. Then we have what the actual proposals contain, the substance, which is very severe restrictions on the use of firearms. And besides lacking any degree of rationality, what it has done is to potentially create a situation where public spaces are no longer going to be protected by private security. And that then in turn will create a more negative perception of South Africa as being more unsafe if these proposals go through. And then that has consequences such as a negative impact on tourism.
So what steps then is the industry taking right now to engage with the regulators on these proposed changes? Or is there something of an impasse here?
No, the very word engage is correct. That's the first step. There's a period for public comment. Various organizations, people such as myself, we are examining the proposals. We are going to provide what we regard as positive inputs so that hopefully we can convince the regulator and the Minister of Police to reconsider these. They're not necessary at this stage. We don't even know what their underlying purpose is. We don't know what the problem is that the regulator is trying to cure. It's a very regulated industry as it is, not properly regulated, but that's the regulator's issue. And now they just want to create even more and more regulation. And you know as well as anybody else does in this country, there's no point in passing more laws when existing laws are not enforced.
Is one of the intentions not to clamp down on so-called fly-by-night operators that might be flouting those regulations that you refer to?
Well, then the regulator must clamp down on those fly-by-night operations. The law's there already. If I can just give one perhaps simple example, many of these regulations are mirrored in the regulations to the Firearms Control Act already. They've taken them word for word out of the Firearms Control Act, where they rightfully belong, and put them in the hands of the regulator. So now what they're doing is, instead of the police controlling firearms, which is appropriate, they have the training for it, you're giving a private security inspector who may not even have firearm training, no competency certificate, you're giving him the right to go and control firearms. That's wrong from the point of view that you should not have untrained people accessing firearms. And it's a complete and utter duplication of existing regulations.
What exactly does limiting semi-automatic rifle use mean when it comes to high-risk security operations? What's your understanding of that word limiting?
Well, that's another problem. The word woolly comes to mind. A lot of the wording in these proposals is vague and undefined. And that's a bad principle when it comes to drafting legislation, because when something is not clear and its purpose is not stated, it creates uncertainty. And these regulations create more uncertainty than they do certainty. So I can't tell you what they want to achieve by passing these regulations.
There's also another requirement about restricting or using, and I quote, a reasonable quantity of ammunition. Again, do you have any clarity on that, Martin?
There is no definition of what is a reasonable quantity of ammunition. The challenge that a security environment has is that an emergency situation can arise at very short notice, and you may need a certain amount of ammunition. And let's be clear, non-lethal rubber ammunition is an example which is now prohibited, just by the way. You can't write a letter or send an email to a regulator and say, I actually need to go and buy some more ammunition right now. Please give me permission. So you need to keep a quantity in reserve. And you also need it for training purposes. The better trained a security officer is in the use of firearms, the safer they're going to be. And then the regulator comes along and says, oh, you know, we kind of decide how much we think is reasonable for you to have. No guidelines, no explanation as to why they want to do it and how they're going to do it, and therefore uncertainty.
It's not just about ammunition, including rubber bullets, as you say, but if I've read this correctly, it also would entail less lethal tools like tasers.
Well, this is perhaps the part that's the most difficult to comprehend, because they limit the use of less lethal alternatives, which is something that this government has advocated for a long, long time. Rather, do not use the ultimate level of violence, rather use less violence. Now they come along and say, for example, you can't use a taser, which is a specific brand, which doesn't make sense. Why would you ban a specific brand? But they say that, for example, you can't use rubber ammunition, rubber bullets, which is something that's typically used in a crowd situation, which is less lethal or non-lethal. So one of the problems with that is that security officers, instead of having a less lethal alternative, may be forced to use lethal force almost immediately. That doesn't make sense. And just to emphasize the lack of sense and rationality, handcuffs are now what's deemed to be a controlled weapon. You've got to be trained on how to use a handcuff. The regulator has to decide whether you can use handcuffs or not.
So just very quickly in conclusion, I understand the importance of public consideration and engagement, but inevitably this is going to end up in court, isn't it?
I think quite definitely if they're not withdrawn in toto, it will end up in court because they're unworkable, they're impractical, and they will increase the cost of doing business, which means ultimately that the consumer ends up paying more.
Martin Hood, thank you very much indeed.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.